Please rise as we will open with our two praise songs on this glorious day. The psalmist says, sing to the Lord a new song. So we are going to be doing that every Sunday. So please rise.
I'm trading my sorrow.
Whatever the Spirit lets you do, we're going to be Presbycostals. It's okay. It's okay. Next one we're going to do, this is an old-time gospel favorite. It's talking about when we're going to see the Lord. Everybody's ready. Amen.
Amen.
At least some days more than others.
Clayton, we all need the energy of that little gal right there.
Yes, we do. Yes, she's over here dancing up front. That's good. Yes, I said the D word. I did say the D word. Yes. All right.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying. We are going to see the King. No more crying. We are going to see the King. No more crying. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more dying.
Joyously extend a warm welcome to everybody who's here for worship. We're so glad you're here with us on this beautiful day. Please see one of the ushers before you leave. So if you are a visitor, we especially are glad you're here, so they will give you a pamphlet as you're going out. Today we got some special announcements. Today is a big banquet. It's going to be a fun day. Dads, daughters, granddads, granddaughters, so it's going to be from 4 to 6 tonight. It sounds like it's going to be a blast. If you have been, please come. And even if you're not participating, just come and enjoy and fellowship together. So that'll be at 4 o'clock today. Believe it or not, Lent is just right around the corner. Even though Easter is very, very late this year, we're getting ready to start Lent. So we have a Fat Tuesday supper that's coming in March, the first Tuesday in March. It's going to be in the fellowship hall, so please look for announcements for that. And then the following Wednesday, we will have our traditional Ash Wednesday service. That's going to be a drop-in. It's going to be 11:30 to 1 in, 1:30. And when you come in, you will get the ashes. So that's going to be a very special time to prepare us for the Easter season. We have a special offering now that's going to be through the end of March, which is our Play School Sunday. CMS is now offering free preschool care. And so, obviously, with the people that are coming in, they pay a fee, which is wonderful. But as you can see, because of CMS, they're taking some people away that we normally wouldn't. So enrollment is down this year for our preschool. So please, if God puts it on your heart, please give to the preschool so the programs and the teachers and all the things that we can do would benefit this school, because it's an incredible school and an incredible ministry. Also, the offering plates are available at the communion table and in the narthex. And there's also a QR code, so if you want to give online, you're able to do that as well. And lastly, the property committee would ask that you refer to a progress report that's going to be included in this week's newsletter. They're going to continue to work with the developer and our broker as we navigate what's going to happen. You have to jump through a lot of hoops and regulations. when you're involved with a real estate transaction. So if you want to keep progress on that, just they'll have a progress report. So now let us greet each other and pass the peace to one another.
Please be seated.
You got the call to worship? Do you mind?
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, let's go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Come, let us sing for joy to the world. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods.
In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. Let us continue in prayer. Gracious and loving God, you are the giver of life, the one who sent your Son so that we might be born anew. As we gather in your presence today, we marvel at the depth of your love, a love that reaches into our brokenness and calls us into the light of your grace. Open our hearts to your Spirit as we hear your word. Stir within us a desire to know you more deeply and to walk in the truth of your great and awesome salvation. May this time of worship remind us that in Christ we are made new, and may our lives reflect your glory. Be with us now, Lord, as we seek to honor you with our praises and draw closer to the heart of your eternal love. In the name of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, we pray. Amen. I'm going to take a moment of pastoral privilege. I just found out it's Kelly's birthday, Kelly Harper, and so I thought we'd take a moment and sing Happy Birthday. Happy birthday to service, if we're honest about it. We come into a time and a place where Jesus calls upon us to confess our sin, and we do so using a prayer and a moment of silence. We do so because the Bible teaches us that if we say we have no sin, we fall short of what God has intended for us. In fact, what it says is that we reject God's awesome and amazing grace. As we confess, we draw nearer to the heart of God, knowing and trusting that he not only loves us eternally, but he has chosen to forgive us as well from our sins, both the ones we've committed and the ones that are yet to be committed. And in his amazing grace, we find that wonderful joy that we yearn for, that parches our throats with that living water we talked about a few weeks ago. We come and we confess, expecting to encounter God's amazing grace and not his condemnation. So join me as we confess using the words found in this morning's bulletin. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart, nor have we loved our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us, cleanse us, and renew us by your grace, that we may walk in your ways to the glory of your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, I declare to you this wonderful, amazing, and eternal truth, that when the fullness of time came, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world as an atoning sacrifice for our sin, not so that we would have to earn our way to heaven, but that he instead put forward everything necessary to make us meritorious of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, our salvation, is the one who declares to us this wonderful truth. Friends, I declare to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Now, with the joyful hearts of those who have been saved by grace, let us sing out what we believe using the words of the creed.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again.
Please be seated, and now we'd like to invite the kids in fifth grade or younger to come forward for a time with Miss Alyssa that's just for them.
Oh, they're coming. There they are. Hi, friends. There's a lot, yeah. You want to sit right here? Here, sit right here. Oh, this way. Okay, we're going this way. I heard it's somebody's birthday. Okay, on the count of three, can everyone say a big happy birthday? One, two, three.
A big happy birthday.
How old are you? Three. Oh, my goodness. Okay. You want to turn around? Okay, are you going to sit with me? You have so many things in your hands. Okay. All right, let me get her knot on the cord here. Sorry, sound crew. Okay, is that better? Okay, so today we are talking about how Jesus heals. So when you fall down and when you have a cut or a scrape, what do you get for that?
A Band-Aid?
A Band-Aid, that's right. And guess what? I have some Band-Aids here.
Or we can have a bandage.
Yeah, or a bandage. So,
not a Band-Aid.
Yeah, Oakley Ray, look, she got a Band-Aid on. Does she have a boo-boo? No, she does not. She loves Band-Aids, or she calls them Dan-Aids. So, yeah, you've got a lot going on here, girlfriend. Okay, we're going to just, she likes to hold all the things. Okay, so.
My daddy.
Yes, we're here. You can hand them out for us in a minute. Okay. So, a Band-Aid covers your cut, and it protects it so it can heal. It keeps it away from all the outside, from the dirt and everything, so that it can heal faster. Did you know that Jesus can use us to help like a Band-Aid? He can use you to be like a Band-Aid. Did you know that?
What?
I know. It's crazy. So, when we can surround our friends and our loved ones when they're hurt or they're sad, we can show them love and kindness, and we can be like a Band-Aid to them. We can surround them and protect them and love them and show them Jesus' love, right? So when you fall down, your mom and dad, your grandma and grandpa, they come over and they kiss your boo-boo and they put a Band-Aid on it, right? Well, when we see a friend that is sad or alone, we can give them a hug, we can sit with them, we can pray for them, and we can show them God's love. So whenever you see a Band-Aid, you're going to get one today. You can put it on or you can just hold it and wait for it. We'll give you one. I want you to think about how you can show God's love to help heal someone's heart. Okay? All right. So everybody gets a Band-Aid. You want to help me pass them out? Can you pass them out, everybody? She's going to keep all of them, I bet. Here you go. Yeah, here, you get one. Can you help me pass them out? All right. So everybody gets one.
Only one.
Yeah, only one. We got lots of friends today. Everybody got one?
No.
Okay, and you can have one. There you go. So whenever you see your Band-Aid, I want you to think about how you can show God's love to somebody, okay? Will you pray with me? Say, thank you, Jesus.
For healing us.
And helping us.
And helping us.
Please show us.
Please show us.
How we can show love.
How can we show love.
To our friends. Amen. All right. Thank you, friends. Let me have so many things here.
There's a reason Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. Amen. What a blessing. Very excited and very joyful when we have people with gifts and they use those gifts for the Lord, especially in worship. And we're so blessed in this congregation to have so many of our youth that can play instruments and that can sing. And so what we're doing is every other week we're going to highlight different instruments. Maybe we'll bring in a soloist, but people that have a gift to lead in music. And so today we are so blessed to have Jessica and Allie, and they're going to play an old standard, the old Rugged Cross. So this is God's time.
So lovely. We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word. We as Presbyterians are known as people of the book because we look toward our Bibles to find us the words that we need, everything necessary for our life and for our salvation. We read the text and then we proclaim it, believing that in the process, God's Holy Spirit stirs and awakens in us that which we require, which is his grace and mercy beating at the very center of us so that we might treat the world with similar grace and forgiveness. So we read and we pray and we proclaim. But before we begin, let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, we pray that by your power that you would deliver a powerful word to us today. Speak to us on healing, on changing, on adapting in ways that are congruent with your word. Bless us now with this reading and proclamation of your gospel message that we might be edified and strengthened to do your will and your work in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to be reading Psalm 1. You can follow along on the screen behind me or on page 532 in your pew Bible. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. The person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers, not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As I prepared this particular proclamation and preaching, I had intended it to kind of go in one direction, and it just didn't. But I do want to pay real close attention to something that we can infer from this particular passage that is absolutely true, and I'm just going to touch on it briefly. Miracles. Miracles, I would have thought prior to becoming into the ministry, were the thing of really just fiction. I didn't necessarily believe that God would interact and interrupt the normal order of things. I found myself really in a deistic kind of world. But one of the things that has happened as I have walked this path as being a pastor for a few years now is that I have seen time and time again and heard stories time and time again of miraculous things happening in the world. Something miraculous happened here a week ago. It happens, and it has happened to members of this congregation. So just ask, right? And you will see the truth that God truly does do miraculous things. He does truly interrupt the order of this world. It's not something that we can count on, like buying a lottery ticket or something like that. But it is there for us. God can enact amazing change. We hear a story of amazing change this morning as we come into the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John, continuing a sermon series on this important gospel. We read verses 1 through 15 today, and we'll learn about a man who was kind of stuck in a system that really wasn't working for him. And yet God, by his miraculous intervention through the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, does something powerful. His word changes the reality of the man. And for all around him, we are left to struggle with what to make of Jesus' power. So now let us hear this word from the Gospel of John in the fifth chapter, verses 1 through 15. I invite you now to hear this word of our Lord. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades.
Here was a number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow that told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the great things about going to college, I guess, is you get exposed to a lot of different things, a lot of different ideas, a lot of ways of thinking. And one of the things that happened to me while I was in college was that I ended up taking Russian and really becoming entranced by Russian literature, and particularly Fyodor Dostoevsky, who writes brilliantly and writes from a position of faith challenged by realism, which is exactly the world we're living in today. It's amazing how things, little things, change in over 150 years. But in one of his books called Note from the Underground, there's a character, an unnamed protagonist that I'll just call Underground Man, that tells the story of his life, basically. And it breaks up into roughly two distinct sections. The first is him kind of putting forward his ideas and what he wants and what he desires and how it's going to happen on a very kind of interesting way. And then the second part is much more narrative. It's much more of a story. And what's interesting is to find the disunity between what the man says he wants and what he actually goes out and does. There is, in fact, in this story, a strong sense of self-sabotage, of a man who claims he wants connection and change, and then every chance he gets for connection and change, he deliberately fumbles or messes up somehow, some way. It speaks, I think, to the human condition that tells us that we prefer, oftentimes, a known hell to an unknown paradise. We can all get stuck in systems of thought, in belief patterns that will not heal us. We can think that a relationship is going to make us better. We can think that money is going to make the boogeyman go away. We can think so many ways that our lives can change for the better, and then yet never seek the actual change itself. We get mired where we're at. We get stuck in complacency. That's certainly where we begin our story today from the Gospel of John. As the story tells us, a man who has laid at that pool for 38 years, waiting to be healed, is introduced to us. Now, the belief was at the time this particular pool, Bethsaida, was a healing font, but there were some provisions to it. It wasn't healing all the time. You couldn't just go and get in it. There had to be some stirring of the water that indicated that it was ready for miraculous things. The man tells us that, unfortunately, he's been waiting there and hasn't been able to get it. And it reminds me of so many of us that remain stuck where we're at. Have you ever noticed, this is definitely a truism, that when somebody comes to us forward with the idea of change, how often do we come up with reasons and rationales why it won't work to begin with? In a sense, sabotaging ourselves from the change that we may so desperately need to make. The underground man self-sabotaged his deliberate rejections of health and his health
help, rather, and his internal rationalization all serve to mirror our tendencies to hold on to what is familiar even when it harms us. This story, this underground man story, challenges us to consider how our comfort zones, even in pain, can keep us from embracing the possibility of renewal and transformation. How many of us are caught in the midst of a need and desire to change, but simply find it impossible to muster the change of in and of itself by our own wills? That certainly speaks to me as I think about my addiction to donuts, right? I have the desire to be free of them, but then when I see them in the Harris Teeter or the Food Line aisle coming toward me, all of my rationalizations come in, and the next thing you know, that box of donuts is sitting right there. My words say one thing, I don't want to eat donuts, but my actions display something else. How many of us get caught doing something similar? This man Jesus Christ comes to has waited by this pool for years. You can only imagine the longing. Now, we have a society that is hopefully better for handicapped people than it was 20 or 25 years ago. It seems like it, but I guess Kelly's like, well, maybe a little. Maybe we're getting a little better. But I can say this, in the first century, there wouldn't have been anything. And so this man would have been forced to into a humiliating position of impotence and inability to do and act in the world. And so what we find is that Jesus comes to him very simply and asks him a question, doesn't he? He just asks him this one simple question. He says, do you want to be healed? Do you desire change? The first step of change is always the awareness that something needs to change. But sometimes I've heard it said that we can stay stuck because the pain of the pain is less than the pain of the change, if that makes any sense. The pain of the pain is not so great to impel us to change. And yet change is what we yearn for, thirst for, what our throats are parched for. When we come into this word of God, we find Jesus Christ does something amazing. He heals the man. John 2 through 5. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has roof colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And then something happened. God's Son intervened himself in the world. And this is another one of these signs that we've been talking about in John's gospel. Of course, the first one we know was the miracle of the wine at the wedding at Cana. And each of these signs is pointing us to something deeper, a deeper truth about Jesus Christ. For example, in the wedding at Cana, we talked about how that was an announcement by God of a new level of joy and abundance that comes through Jesus Christ. Maybe some of us heard that message and acted, maybe some of us didn't. But the point being is that when we come into this world broken, and Jesus asks us if we want to be well, do we answer him? Yes. Because notice what the man who is lame does. He equivocates a little bit. He doesn't come out and say, yes, I want to be healed, or no, I don't want to be healed. It's often the case, as I said, when you're talking about change, that people are already ahead of you and have figured out the reasons why change can't happen. And so you come and say, do you want to be healed? And they begin a narrative. Well, this has gotten to happen, and that's got to happen, and blah, 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 and it's basically impossible. How often do we shut ourselves off from the miraculous healing of Jesus Christ simply by rationalizing away why things have to stay the same? And why do things have to stay the same? Well, in the underground man, it becomes very clear in the story. In the story, the man doesn't want to change because he can at least control his suffering. He's grown so comfortable in his suffering that he knows that it isn't going to make any difference to him whether it changes or not, because he will not allow it to change, even though he said at the very beginning that that's what he wanted. I think we all do that from time to time. I think we all say we want something that to change, and then we fall back into rationalizations and excuses why it can't. But what Jesus says is, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? And then his powerful word changes things. He heals the man, does he not? It seems like an odd question. The man doesn't say yes. He assumes that the only way to be healed is by getting sunk into the water. This is a typical response for someone who is stuck. So where are we waiting for the wrong solution? Many people put their hopes, their faith, their beliefs in things other than Jesus Christ. And time again, it serves to upset us. You know, I met a young man doing Kairos who had really, over the course of his young life, for reasons that certainly made sense to him, had dedicated his life to a gang. And now in prison, what he was finding is that that gang's tentacles were still there and that they still served to try to control him. He felt very trapped, and I didn't really have a solution for him other than to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because in the belief of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find a freedom that transcends our context or surroundings. It's a freedom that speaks to us inwardly, telling us that we're beloved children of God despite what we may or may not have done. That is the grace that Jesus Christ shares with us. That is the message that Jesus Christ came to announce, was that God was going to heal the brokenness that existed between a sinful humanity and a sinless God. And he did that by sending his son, Jesus Christ, into the world in the fullness of time. There, Jesus Christ, a completely and utterly sinless man, accepted a guilty verdict on behalf of us. He accepted that verdict and was led to his suffering and his ultimate death. And he did so for no other reason than to bridge the gulf between ourselves and God. And now, by the power of his Holy Spirit, we can draw near to God and expect to encounter God's amazing and wonderful grace. Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your bed and walk." And at once the man was healed. He took up his bed and walked. Notice what Jesus doesn't do here in this moment. He doesn't help him into the water. He doesn't wait for the pool to stir. He doesn't make him earn it. Jesus speaks, and the healing just happens. It's an amazing thing that Luther talked about as he talked about Heidelwort and Theidelwort. These are differences between our speech and God's speech. Our speech is very contingent and really doesn't amount to very much. I can say I'm going to live to be 100, but there's no guarantee. It's just me blathering. But when God decrees something, it happens. Theidelwort. The closest analogy I have is during a wedding service. As we get to the end and the promises are made, the pastor declares, "I declare to you now, this is now Mr. and Mrs. Smith, a new thing created by God to serve God's interest and show forth his glory." And that is a word that has power and meaning. God's word always has power and meaning. God's word always works to his glory. And so as God speaks, things happen. It is that immediate for us as well. Are you willing to let go of whatever it is that you're suffering or struggling with today to give it completely to Jesus? The Bible says to cast all our anxieties on him, and we do so and find relief from the fears that sometimes plague us. When we think about it, in our sin, we're all stuck like that man, lame and incapable of healing ourselves. And what the gospel tells us is that Jesus Christ came and changed that dynamic forever. And then notice what the man does immediately. He picks up his mat and walks. When we've been healed, we know it because there is at the one and same time an obedience that comes into our life. There is the desire to yield our will to the will of God that comes as Jesus heals us and we pick up our mats and throw away the garbage that we've been collecting in our lives to live a freedom with Jesus Christ. As we let go of those things, we're just amazed at how much lighter our life becomes and how much more joy-filled and filled with light it becomes as we do what this man did. Immediately follow Jesus Christ. There is that awareness.
And then we get this final scene at the end, don't we? It can be a troubling one for a great many of people, myself included. Because the man comes to, Jesus comes to the man. Remember, the man who has been healed doesn't know who Jesus is. He just accepts the healing, picks, and is obedient. The Jewish leaders, unfortunately, it's the Sabbath. And so where they see this miracle, they become increasingly agitated that people are working on the Sabbath, disregarding the fact that something miraculous has happened from God. And so we come to that moment where we ourselves find our distress taken away by God. Sometimes it's miraculous. Sometimes it's just mere means that God arranges. But our problems get better. We change because the pain of the change became less than the pain of the pain. We were able to move forward because God's Holy Spirit was with us. Remember, this man doesn't do anything to receive healing. That's the same message that we receive when Jesus tells us, or when God tells us in Romans, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ saw us poor and weakened in our sin and chose to save us. And that is the great and true reality of our life. So where do we need to listen to Jesus' word? The word of Christ brings immediate change when we respond in faith. Are you listening for his voice, or are you waiting on something else? I close with the story of a man whose entire life, one might say, changed in a very quick period of time. I didn't know this until this week as I was studying it, but one of the original members of Metallica, a hard rock band, who was actually so wild and crazy that he got thrown out of the band. He started his own band, Megadeth, right? But in that process, something happened. He crashed and hit a wall. And he asked Jesus Christ for help. And Jesus Christ healed him. He's no longer the wild man, although he is fronting a Megadeth metal band, right? But this is a man that has new life in Jesus Christ because God came into his life and he simply answered the question, do you wish to be healed, with a positive affirmation? Yes. Do you wish to be healed? God is waiting on your reply. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we lift up to God those things that weigh upon us on our hearts and our minds and our souls. We pray trusting that God not only hears our prayers, but that he does indeed respond. That's the message the Bible gives us, is that God is in love with us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. There is an intensity and a depth to that love that allows us to know that as we call out to our Father God hears and responds and does. He uses that thitelwort, that word that does something to change us, change our minds, and to change our hearts, softening them so that we might more fulsomely follow his Son, Jesus Christ. So let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this day, for this opportunity to be gathered in worship, and for your Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who laid down his life for us and for our salvation. We thank you for the many blessings of the Holy Spirit arising us this morning, getting us ready, and bringing us here to this place of healing and hope. We pray, Father God, that this word has nurtured us, has brought a healing into our heart, or opened up our eyes to a vector toward redemption. We pray, Father God, that you would enable us to know always that Jesus Christ has come into our life and healed us. By the waters of our baptism, we have been carried into God's promised kingdom. Before the foundations of the earth, our names were called, and that baptism shows forth the truth that God's word is always triumphant. So, Father God, we just pray today, hopeful,
and expectant to see you do miraculous things, Father God, for we know that you do them on an ongoing basis, not just in the stories that we hear, but in our own hearts and lives as well. So we pray today for all of the members who are on our prayer list, naming especially today Matt Thompson, Ezra Pettit, Pam Crosby, Norman Thompson, James Harper, Patty Brown, and Nancy Smith. We continue our prayers, ongoing prayers for the wildfire victims in California and the hurricane victims in North Carolina. We also pray for all of those that we now name silently in our hearts. We also pray for those who are unknown to us, but known to you, Father God. And we make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the strong and holy and saving name of your Son, Jesus Christ. It was he who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise. God is asking us the question today, do you wish to be healed? And we're going to respond in the affirmative, and we're going to see how he moves us to a spot of bliss-filled obedience. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Come, let us sing a song declaring we belong to Jesus. He's all we need. Lift up a heart of praise. Sing now with voices raised.